She's going to say, "Cool." All right. Now, I want to introduce to you tonight our focus for next year. The Lord has given us an emphasis, as He has for over the last, what, 3, 4 years. The first year, I remember it being the manifested presence of God. Remember that? The manifested presence of God. And then the year after that, I do believe it was the year that we pray the word and speak the word. And remember that? And then last year, it was the year of soul peace and spiritual well-being, where we practice the presence of God day by day and moment by moment, right? And there's another one, I'm missing it somewhere. Oh, we did practice the presence of God another year as well. Now this year, our emphasis, our focus is this. This is the year of Sabbath rest. The year of Sabbath rest, where God's grace is sufficient for you and me, because His strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me say it again. This is the year of Sabbath rest, where God's grace is sufficient for you and me, because His strength is made perfect in weakness. The year of Sabbath rest. I do want you to know that Sabbath and rest actually mean the same thing. Oh, but it doubled down. It's doubled down in our title tonight, in our year focus. It's doubled down. Sabbath rest. And so tonight I'm just going to introduce the subject. But in the days to come, you know, as we have year after year, the Lord will, in His way, give us different messages and different words, and you know how He does, to make sure that we are learning and growing in these emphases that He gives us every year. And aren't we, haven't we celebrated so many times that idea of practicing the presence of God? I mean, hasn't it changed your life? I know it's changed mine. To recognize, in practicing the presence of God, we recognize that He's with us every minute of the day. It's been a blessing. And so that in that practicing of His presence, it's a drawing near, the intimacy that we have grown in with the Father, knowing that He is with us every moment of every day. We can also say in that, in these years of practicing the presence of God, that it caused us also to walk, like the Bible said, circumspectly, right? Because we knew God was looking. You know, He right here, His presence, He's close to us. He's listening and He's looking. So it caused us to watch our words, and it caused us to watch how we were living out our lives, and how we were acting and reacting in different things. And so we're grateful for that, as He's grown us up and recognizing that He's not a far away God. And then how about the times that we spent in learning what it meant to be a child of God? What it meant to be in Christ? We got a clear, close-up look and understanding of what Jesus meant when He says that eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. And so we've been so blessed by these emphases. And so, of course, this year will be no different, as, you know, we all can say to some degree we have been walking in the rest of God. To some degree we have, haven't we? We have. And to some degree, we have appropriated and understood that God's grace is what's sufficient for you and I. We have. But indeed, this year, we can look forward to understanding that the Lord will emphasize these subjects even more in our lives, to cause us to grow up in them even more, to understand it even more, so that we can walk in it even better this year. I'm looking forward to it. Anybody, you ready to just give it up and say, Lord, I'm resting in You? Anybody? You know, we're going to go over a definition of what this rest actually is, but You know, anybody else trying to say, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I've tried this too many ways on my own. I'm ready, Lord, for you to show me another aspect or deeper or broader of what it means to walk and live in and abide in the rest of God. Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us tonight, see. Glory to God. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read it from verse 1. If you walk with me, I'll go to verse 11. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to explain a few things to bring some definition and clarity to a few things about this thing called Sabbath rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let me start right. I want you to understand as I'm reading, who was the them? Who's the them? It was preached to them. Who's them? What them was this rest of God preached to? Well, the writer of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about the first crowd of the Israelites. The Israelite parents. You know, the ones that came out of Egypt. He's talking about them. The rest of God was preached to them. God told them, I'm taking you into a land to give you rest. But they didn't believe it. So they didn't go in. They didn't believe it, I said. So they didn't go in. See? And so now the writer of Hebrews is reminding the audience here and the Holy Spirit reminding us that there was a people that were offered the rest of God, but they didn't receive it because they didn't go in. They didn't believe it. All right. So that's the them. Verse 3. But we which have believed do enter into rest. Aren't you glad? That's you. See, that's me and you. That's the we. For we, you and I, which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, the King James Version says, if Jesus, but it's really talking about Joshua. So I'm going to say Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? See, Joshua took the second generation into the land. But then David came years later to say that there still remained a rest. And this is what the writer is telling us right here. So verse 9 says this, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that hath entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Oh, hallelujah. Let's work on this a little bit. So if we're entering into a year, where we will be focusing and placing our the emphasis in our understanding and knowledge and our application of the Word of God day by day on this thing called Sabbath rest, then what does it mean? We need to know that, don't we? Well, rest. The rest of God. He had described it this way. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. I'm not going to read it all, but you can write that down for your notes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. He told the children of Israel back in that day, I'm taking you into this land, this promised land, this land of rest, your Sabbath place. And in that land, this is what rest looks like. He said, I'm going to give you great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Now for us, let's compare and contrast here. For us, great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. It's speaking of a commerce. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about businesses. It's talking about income. It's talking about economy. Goodly cities. It's talking about military. It's talking about rule and legislation. Great and goodly cities, but in God's rest, but you didn't have to build it, though. See? And so to us, then, we can see that rest is saying God has these businesses and ministries and the use of our gifts and our talents to build and to cause increase and income to come, but we won't have to build it. And it also says in Deuteronomy 6:10, houses full of all good things which thou didn't. You didn't have to build. You didn't have to buy it. So material goods, material gains, resources. How many of you know we as the children of God in this day, we must have resources in our hands if we are to complete the assignment that the Lord has given to us. Isn't that right? We know at Safe Refuge Ministries, we are called to the unhoused. We know that we're called to those who are wounded in their souls. We're called to those. Well, we're going to minister to them, and we can minister them greatly when we have resources in our hands. Isn't that right? He said, wells digged, which thou diggest not. Wells, that was water. Water, that's a necessity. Necessity of your daily necessities. The Lord says, I'm going to give you all of that. And you didn't have to work for. You didn't have to create it. You didn't have to make it be here. It's already there. And vineyards and olive trees, which back in that day, vineyards and olive trees, olives was, it represented prosperity. It represented having more than enough. Which thou plantest not. And then in another place, Deuteronomy chapter 7. What does this rest look like back in that day? So we can understand what it looks like in this day. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord said to his people, he said, I will take sickness and disease out from among you. That's his rest, see. Come on. God's Sabbath rest. I'll take it out from among you. And for us, we understand that to mean divine health. Isn't that right? And we know that to the people back then, he fought battles for them. See, they were going into this land, but there were giants in that land. But he was sending them in there. Why? Because he had already won the battle for them. That's what rest looks like. Then we can appropriate, you know, the types and the figure and the symbols of the Old Testament, and we can apply it to our lives in our day. What does that mean? Well, we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But there is a wrestling that we do. And we wrestle against the enemy of God, the enemy of our souls. And that's principalities and of spiritual wickedness and darkness and all the rulers of Satan and his demons, see. But then, in this rest, God says, I fight your battles for you. Let's know something else about this rest. This rest is a promise from God to his children. Promise. It's a promise in the new covenant, in the old covenant, in the new covenant with the same God he has promised rest. And so now that we know God said, now that we know God promised it, now we can stand on it. Flat-footed. We never have to move off it. We never have to wonder, well, is this rest for me? We don't have to wonder, Well, maybe it's for them over there, but not for me. No, God promised rest for his children, all of his children. And how do we know we're his children? Because we believe in Jesus, because we're in Christ. That's how we become children of God, because we're in the Son of God. Isn't that right? We believed on Jesus, and then we became the children of God. Let's find out something else about this rest. This rest must be mixed with faith. What does that mean, mixed with faith? Well, faith in God, the one who promised. See, I can promise you, oh, I'm going to pay your mortgage for the rest of the year. And you're going to look at me and you're going to laugh. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, why would you have faith in that? No, you're not. Are you kidding? You know you're joking. But when God says, though, and this is no laughing matter with God, it's not a joke with him, because God said, when he said, I promise you a Sabbath rest, then we can put our feet on it, we can lay our entire lives on it, because he's faithful. We know he's not a liar. He's not joking. He's not going to pull it back. He promised a faith. He promised a rest to the people of God. Now, there's something else about this rest. Let us understand that we already have it. You remember our brother PMJ, Pastor Mike Jr.? He says, I got it. Yeah. It's already mine. It's already yours. We already have the rest. We received the rest the minute we said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. See, the rest came with him. We have the rest. We already have it. Do we have parts of it? No, all of it. The rest is already ours. It's already provided. It's already done. It's a finished work. The rest is ours already. So now we could say, well, I get that. And maybe I can rest in this area. But over in this area right here, though, I can't say that I'm not understanding how that rest works over in this particular area right here. See, maybe I have rest that my car, no, will be paid. But over here in this area where my neighbor is always talking bad about me, I'm not sure I have rest over here. I'm not sure God got that. I'm not sure. You know, there's some areas in our Christian lives as we have been walking this thing out and growing up in our faith where, you know, we just can rest in the Lord because of practice. If faith, we know he's faithful in these areas. He's faithful in all areas, but you and I, though, we wrestle with it. Sometimes we wrestle with getting outside of the rest of God. Because I want to make sure you understand that the rest of God is where we have ceased from our own works. I want to say that again. Because this is the place where we, you know, the rest of God is where we cease from our own works. Because all of our lives before Christ, we've grown up knowing if you don't work, you don't eat. And is that right? There's some truth to that. But what if God tells you, let your job go, I got you. Whoa. Now you don't want to do that unless God said it. Now when God says do it, if he didn't say it, stay on that job, and you're going to trust God for his rest on that job. But if he says it, though, when you cease from your own works, because see, now those works, we built up these works over through our lives. There's some works that we do to defend ourselves, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Let me help you. I'm gonna nod my head for you. There's some works that we do to defend ourselves. Because I tell you what, you come for me, I got something for you. Okay, come on. Now, you don't. Wait a minute. Whatever you do, don't come for mine. If you come for mine now, you're going to have to deal with me. But see, in God's Sabbath rest, we got to lay that aside. We cease from our own works. And what's the work we do now? Now we pray. Lord, this enemy is coming after me. And it's not the person. The enemy is not the person. It is the spirit behind the person. Lord, this enemy. Oh, and he'll teach us how to stand in authority against that thing that thinks he can come against your own. No, you can't. You can't touch mine. Why? Because, see, my God fights my battles for me. See, that's how you Sabbath rest. See, we're going to enter into it deeper and broader this year in God's Sabbath rest, where we cease from our own works. I need a house for my family, a place to establish my family, you might be saying. Or you may be saying, God has placed this vision deep down inside of me. There's this ministry I need to start, might be saying. But I think I'm going to have to get 2 and 3 jobs to do it. Well, no, God said. It's his promise. It's his mission. It's his vision for you. And so we enter into his rest, where we cease from our own works. I got another one for you. Oh, I'm a little nervous. Don't feel right on the inside of me. See, I'm feeling a little anxious right now. And so what is that thing? I might have to go and get me some comfort food. comfort food. We must cease from our own works as God did from his. Food was not designed to comfort us. But how many, and I'm talking about me now, so this is me, how many of us can find ourselves standing at the refrigerator, but we're not really hungry, no, not really, but there's something going on in the inside of us, and somehow it seems that food can calm that down. Yeah, I use food, but there's so many other vices that we can use. But God said, and he's promised a Sabbath rest where we cease from our own ways of trying to take care of ourselves. Because he said, I'm your father and you are my children in Christ. I take care of you. See, those ways that we want to protect ourselves, those ways that we want to advance ourselves, those ways that we practice and we know very well how to do. But this year, as we enter into this place called Sabbath rest, a place that already exists, I tell you, a place that we already have, I said, didn't I say it? Because we're in Christ. But how then do we enter into it fully? Now, here it is, by choice. We got to make the decision. We have to choose. Moment by moment, we have to choose. Situation by situation, we have to make choices. Right in that time, right at that moment, that moment when you feel like you got to go make something happen, you got to stop and say, I got to enter into his rest. Well, I believe God. See, I have faith in God, and he got this, and he's already handled this, whatever that this is, whatever your this is, rest in God. And it's moment by moment that we make these choices. Day by day that we make these choices. And brothers and sisters, let's be real. Those choices are not always easy, because there's something about flesh that says, no, don't worry, God, I got this. Isn't that right? And so we continue to practice, and we stay in God's word, and we meditate his word in this area of rest, and so that it becomes real on the inside of us, and we grow in this faith and the faithfulness of God in all facets of areas, so that we remain in the rest that he's already given us. But how do you do that, though? How is that possible? You preacher, You don't know what I'm dealing with. How is that possible? Preacher, you don't know what's coming at me right now. You're talking about arrest, and okay, that's all good. That's good, good, good. But what does this look like, though? How do we do this thing and appropriate this and live in it? Oh, we all want it, don't we? Oh, we absolutely do, where we cease from our own works because God got it. And man, when God got it, he can do it so much better than we can. But how do we do that then? Go with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. Let's be clear. Everything that I've said tonight is way beyond you and I. We will never do it on our own. It cannot get done. How do you love your enemies? How? How is that possible? How do you do good to them to do bad to you? But we're Christians. We're God's children. That's what we do. That's in our DNA. You know, how is that possible? Lord, as we're entering into your rest, how is that possible for me to now just be able to be at rest in a situation that's reeling all around me and it looks like tornadoes coming at me? How is that possible? This is what God told the Apostle Paul. And we know Apostle Paul went through some stuff, didn't he? Woo! He got beat, what was it, 5 times, 39 stripes, stoned, and they thought he was dead. He got shipwrecked. Oh, they were coming at him all the time, this apostle right here. And this Apostle Paul, he had an infirmity in his body, see, as he was trying to preach the gospel. He was doing what God had called him to do, and he said he prayed 3 times. Lord, take this thing away from me. But in verse 9, God gives him this answer, and this is the answer that he's giving to us tonight. How, Lord, do we remain in the rest of God? How is it that we remain as we're growing up in this thing called rest? How do we do this? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, God says, is made perfect in weakness. That's our answer. It's the grace of God that is sufficient to walk us through it. It's the grace of God that is sufficient to compel us to choose to do it his way. It's the grace of God that in our weakness, as we come to him in prayer, and as we come to him and ask him to help, and as he's sending his word to us, and as we are participating in what he's telling us to do so that we remain in this grace. See, it's his strength that's made perfect in weakness. Grace. His grace is sufficient. Isn't that a good thing to know? Because, see, we already know we're going to mess this up along the way. Every one of us, we're going to slip and fall and jump and fall over again. And we're going to walk and trip. And that's what we're going to do as we're growing up in this area of the rest of God. We're just not going to get it right all the time. But God says his grace is sufficient. For when you mess up, his grace is sufficient. As you're growing, his grace is sufficient. When you decide, I don't want to do this anymore, his grace is sufficient. See, his grace is sufficient to get the job done. His strength is made perfect in those areas where we are weak. And let that be every area of our life before God. His strength is made perfect. And here is the reward in verse 9. And the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. I would much rather glory in my infirmities for this reason, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, when we can give it over, lay it down, say, Lord, even if I don't understand it, Lord, even right now I'm in pain because of it. Lord, I really don't want to deal with this. I'm afraid to go that way that you're taking me, but I'll do this, Lord, because then the power of Christ rests upon me so that we can put one foot in front of the other. That's what matters, isn't it? That we put one foot in front of the other. That's what matters, isn't it? That we don't throw in the towel and say, I don't want to do this anymore. That's what matters, that we put one foot in front of the other. The power of Christ. See, rest. As we are in Christ Jesus. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God, where we cease from our own works. And I want to show you this, and I'm going to close with this. Now, what is the goal? What is the ultimate place of rest in God? This is where we're growing to. Well, we're not here yet, but we're growing to this. The ultimate place of rest in God, what does it look like? You know, we walk through the Bible to find out what this thing looked like. What does it look like? Go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What does this, the ultimate rest in God look like? Because, brothers and sisters, in every area of our lives, our faith in God, our faith in knowing He's faithful, our faith in knowing He got me, our faith in knowing He loves me, our faith in knowing He's not going to let me go, He's not going to leave me nor forsake me, our faith in knowing He's got this, He's going to work this out, I know I'll see. That faith in God, we got to know. There'll become a time where we'll truly have to lay out on God entirely to enter into His rest. I said entirely to enter and remain in this place of rest. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul leaves us a very vivid example of the rest that is entirely on God. Verse 8. It says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Let me explain this trouble that came to the Apostle Paul in Asia. See, Apostle Paul and his boys, they went over to Asia and they were preaching the gospel. And they got into some trouble with the folk there that didn't like this Jesus thing that they were preaching. And see, they were preaching it so much that people were coming to Jesus and they were turning away from the God of Artemis. And so they had some folks there that were making money because of this God. But there were so many people turning away, they felt like, well, we're not going to be making any money anymore. So they went out and they incited a riot against Paul and his boys that were preaching the gospel. And they beat them silly. See, I can't talk like King James talk. King James said, our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. We don't know what that means, but we know this. They beat them silly. That's what he's saying. above strength. They overwhelmed them. It was a whole crowd of them. It was a mob of them. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's very good words for Paul saying. It's very beautiful, poetic way that Paul's saying they beat us to almost death. That's what he's saying. And he said, but we had, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We thought we were going to die. That's what he said. That we should not trust in ourselves. We knew this was too big for us. We can't protect ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We can't outrun this mob. There's nothing we can do. It looks like, boys, we gonna die. That's what he says. But watch this. But even in that, the Apostle Paul says, but in God, which raises from the dead. You know, even God, see, right there, even in that place where the mob was coming at him, and it looked like there's no way we're going to get out of this, there's no way we can live through this, they still rested in the faithfulness of God. That's the ultimate. That's where we're growing to. That in all that we face, even unto death, we can trust God with our very lives. That's where we're growing to. Amen. Verse 10 says, God, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. All right, bless his name. Want to just give us an idea of what this year looks like for us. It's going to be exciting and it's going to be challenging. It's going to try our souls, the Bible says. It's going to cause us to suffer in our flesh. It is, because we got to give up stuff. We have to give up our independence from God. In areas in which we have not given up our independence from God, we must be entirely dependent on him. Oh, but the reward, though, of a people that remain in the rest of God, that you know, no matter what comes against me, you know, no matter what fights against me, that you know, no matter, it doesn't matter, God got me. And he got me in a big way. And I will see the salvation of the Lord. And I will see that he promised me. And I will see it. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Pray with me, Father. Lord, this place that we entered into by grace, we entered into rest. In Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us in this coming year that we may understand better and that we may step by step walk better and that we may, Lord, be more confident in areas of which we have not been in the rest, that Sabbath rest that you've already given us. And we pursue it, Lord, because we pursue you. We want you more than anything. More of you, Lord. Because we love you more than anything. My God. But the love that we have for you is nothing compared to the love that you have for us. And so, Lord, teach us day by day and moment by moment to remain in your rest. And Father, I pray for this people as we slip up and fall, as we miss it, Lord, that we won't fall into a condemnation or a guilt, and we won't put ourselves down, but we'll remember the grace and mercy of our Lord that says, you are sufficient for me and for them, very intimately sufficient for us. That will keep moving forward. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every day you'll remind us that you're pleased with us. that you love us, even when we don't get it right. So we look forward to the coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, people of God. You ready for the ball to drop? Oh, it's going to drop tonight, isn't it? It's going
to already drop from this word.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, wow. Hey, what if Jesus came back tonight?
My God.
Wouldn't that be something? Oh, what if he came tonight? Come, Jesus, come. Oh, don't let me get to playing that song. Oh, hallelujah. And we get to go home and be with him. That's the ultimate prize, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. All right. All right. Now, just in case someone's be listening to this recording afterwards, and let me talk to you for a minute. I talk tonight to the children of God, the believers in Jesus Christ, about this place called rest, the Sabbath rest of God. This Sabbath rest of God is for every child of God. Every. You can't be good enough. But he's giving it anyway. You can't be perfect enough. But he's giving you this place of rest where he takes care of you anyway. But it requires something. It requires decision. And your first decision has to be, all right, I got to give up my life the way I'm living it now. And I have to make a decision to live a life in Christ. I got to tell you something. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, and he is the only way to the Father. But listen, that's not a bad thing. That's not a statement of exclusivity. It's an invitation for every human being ever born. Yeah. It's just a saying, okay, Lord, I'm coming, Jesus, come get me. And you know, choose me, and you've already been chosen. Now it's up to you to choose him. And you can do that, and it's easy. It's out of your own mouth. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just say the words that I say. It's coming out of your heart. I'm just helping you with the prayer. You say this prayer. Lord, I want this rest. I don't want to live my life anymore the way I've been living. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the way. And I believe that you are the truth. And I believe that life is in you. And I believe through you, God becomes Father for me. Jesus, come into my life and come into my heart. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. Jesus, I commit my life to you. Help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. If you said that prayer, listen, that was the decision that you need to make. And now you are a child of God, an heir in Jesus Christ. You are completely new on the inside. But the outside of us, all of us, did not change. And so there's still habits that we have that we have to learn and allow the Lord to work that out of us. And how do you do that? See, now that you're a child of God, we have to do what children do. You got to go to church. You do. You need a church. You need a local body that can help you along the way. Because now you have to learn. Let's learn how to pray. Let's learn how to fellowship one with another. Let's learn how to change your friends and learn how to think a different way. Think the way God thinks. And how do we do that? Through the preached word and through reading the Bible on your own, through praying. But we want to help you with that, though. You can't do this on your own. We want to help you. And so, if you have a local church where you are, get connected there and stay there. But if you don't have that, you can reach out to us. You can call or text us at 240-619-8828. Again, 240-619-8828. And listen, we will be so happy to reach back to you. Glory to God. Now, all of heaven is rejoicing right now because you've come home. And we are rejoicing with you as well. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Okay, quick announcements. Because I know I kept you a little longer, so quick announcements. Oh, I do want to thank every one of you that participated in our celebration of the in-gathering. It was something, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness, we had so much fun. We had people, we had worship, we had food, we played games, we laughed. So thank you, every one of you that participated and that helped us out. I want to keep reminding us that we are the generation of the eighth day, but I'm going to get back to that. Now, here's service going forward. January the 4th, which is this Sunday, we are in person at Miss Viola's house, all right? Bring a dish for community service, community fellowship, if you can. If you can, bring a dish. If you can't, bring yourself and somebody else. If you can. Wednesday, we're going to be online again at 7 p.m. as we always are. Now, watch this. Make note of this. January the 11th, we're going visiting another church. We're going visiting the Apostle Sharon's anniversary on January the 11th. It's in Lanham, Maryland. And, you know what? I'll drop the flyer in our chat. I'll drop it in the chat for you so you have the address and everything. But now that's January the 11th, okay? Yes, Debbie?
Oh, if we're going to attend and we can't prepare any food, can we donate money?
Or
Sunday?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yep, you can do that. You can, absolutely. Yes, indeed. And bring some people with you.
Okay, I'll try.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so Apostle Sharon's and their service starts at 9 o'clock, and it is in person. All right. So we'll talk more about that later. All right. I want to let you go now and let you go. Thank you all for coming on New Year's night. And thank you for your participation. Debbie, was so great having you tonight with us. It was great. Thank you for coming.
God be the glory.
Amen. Tell Pastor Price over there at the Holy Church that Refuge Ministry says hello.
I sure will.
Right.
Can I say hi to Mother Swan?
Oh, yes.
Hi, Mother Swan.
Hi.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Just wanted to say hello. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Amen. Ma, you know who that is? That's Everett's sister.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Thank you for letting me in on that.
Yes, indeed. Yes. All right. Yes. Okay. Great. Oh, we'd be happy to see you on Sunday, Debbie, for sure. Okay. Now, did I have anything else? No. Let me just give a shout out to Pastor Prince. That young man's been at the front line for a lot of years over there in the neighborhood. That's tough. Let's pray specifically for Pastor Prince and First Lady and the folks over at the Holy Church.
Price, Pastor Price.
Price. I said Prince, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Prince is in Singapore. Price is. Yeah, he's been at the front line for a long time.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's pray for them. All right. Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed tonight. Glory to God. Father, another night epic that we spent with you and engaged with you. We thank you, Lord, that you never disappoint when we come together. The saints of God, the children of God, you are always in our midst, and we, Lord, are so grateful. Father, as we celebrate this year gone out and the year going in, We can say there are no other people in the world that can celebrate more than your children. And so celebrate we do. And we celebrate with a praise and a shout unto you, Lord. Keep every child of God safe tonight, wherever they be, Lord. Keep their loved ones safe tonight, wherever they be. We stand against every demonic attack that would try to attack tonight. We stand against it in the name of Jesus. And we tell you your strategy and your plan is of no effect. It is canceled and void now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
You cannot touch God's people and God's people, you cannot touch. And I'll go even further. You leave those alone who are not saved because we're claiming them for Christ.
Hallelujah.
You leave them alone, not tonight.
In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love you all, but I got to tell you this. Jesus loves you so much more.
Hallelujah.
See you Sunday.
Love you all. Happy New Year.